Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
Edging toward that SCP 3 million, that Songwriter Connection podcast. Thanks for joining us. Everybody's got a podcast out there. It seems like everybody. So I really want to thank you for finding ours and for spreading the word. It's all because of you that that we've done this well. I've got two amazing guests today, and one of the hottest new duos in town, and I'm very excited for you to make a connection with them. I saw them at the local. I do a lot of the songwriter nights, and I try to get around and see folks, and every now and then I'll see someone perform, and they blow me away, and I try to meet everybody. And Ryan, I think I met you at the Commodore.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
were a solo act then.
Yep.
And writing with a lot of friends of mine. Ryan Neely is here, and so is Caitlin Quisenberry. They are known as the Wanderings.
Yeah.
And it's good to have you around the dining room table. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
We're excited to be
Thanks,
here.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the first time I saw you, Caitlin, was when I saw you perform at the local that night. Uh-huh. And you guys were great. And that was the Freaky Friday, or it might have been the Freak Show.
Freak Show, yeah, yeah.
Terry Jo Box.
Yep.
Who
yep.
I keep threatening she's going to be on this someday.
That was
Come
my
on, Terry.
First time performing at the local, actually, that night.
That
was my first time.
Oh, my God. That was fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I want to tell folks a little bit about you. Now, you, Caitlin, you came from Colorado, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, started there for you, Baptist minister, your father or your grandfather?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yes.
So you grew up singing in church and stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
I read that you were writing songs and recording songs at the age of 14?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did a lot of acting and music growing up.
Wow.
And then I just didn't know how you could make it a career. And
yeah.
so then I was like, I have to go to law school and I'll just be an entertainment lawyer and do the logical side, but still be involved in music.
Right.
So that's what my plan was. But then I was like, well, mm-hmm. this isn't mm-hmm. very fun. Mm-hmm. I miss like singing and writing music. And
you sang, you put a little thing on was it Instagram?
Yes.
Of you singing the Chris Stapleton song?
Exactly.
Yeah. Millionaire, was it?
Millionaire.
And what happened?
And so, yeah, that was really the song that changed kind of the course of my life. I was living in Colorado at the time, taking a gap year. I'd gotten into Pepperdine Law.
Yeah.
And,
Malibu, right?
Yes, yeah. in Malibu. Mm. And it flagged the attention of a producer on Instagram from Nashville. And he's like, I hear something in your voice. I would love to fly you down. And Nashville wasn't even on my radar at that point at all. And so I told my parents about it, and they're like, well, you can always go to law school, but you can't always have the chance to pursue your dream. So, they encouraged me.
Advice. I love that your parents encouraged you.
I know. Usually parents are the opposite, and they're like, no, go be a doctor.
Well, they must have seen the passion in you at a very early age.
Yes.
Yeah. And really, at 14, you're recording and singing. Now, people have seen you on American Idol. Mm. And recently on The Voice.
Yes.
Team Reba, right?
Team Reba.
Uh-huh. Right? And on The Idol, you got the golden ticket. You went to Hollywood and everything. Right?
I did. I was 15 years old. So I was...
15
Yeah. It was the first year that they had changed the age from 16 to 15. I was very scared.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. It was an awakening to Hollywood.
I'll bet. How was that?
I mean, it was scary, but it was great. It was like a huge learning curve, and it really got me outside my comfort zone.
I'll
used to be kind of a more shy kid, and so I feel like that was a great stepping stone for me to get more comfortable being in front of people and singing.
That'd bring you out of your shell.
Yeah.
Really, really quick.
I threw myself to the wolves.
Yeah. You remember what you sang in your audition for Idol?
I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah, me too.
You must have killed it. Written by Mike Reed, by the way, former Cincinnati Bengal and a great songwriter.
Oh, very nice.
Great song. But and then, so by the time The Voice comes around, you're all pro, right?
Yes. Well, it was helpful because I, you know, a lot of people sometimes have a positive or negative experience with The Voice. Uh-huh. And I feel like having done Idol, I know what Hollywood's like. And, you know, you don't want to put your entire worth in a TV show. At the end of the day, it comes down to what are they looking for? What's your story? And I feel like that kind of helped me have that mindset and kind of tough skin going into the voice.
Oh, yeah. And you got to have that, don't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In this business, no matter what you're doing.
Yes, it'll serve you well if you have tough skin.
Good. Team Reba, huh? How was that?
Team Reba, it was great. So yeah. I actually was the last person to make her team. She had one spot left.
Wow.
And I auditioned on the very last day. So that was scary because there was only one spot left on everyone's team. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, that kind of added
and she
to
was the
pressure.
First to turn around. I was watching video of that this
she,
morning.
She was. She was who I wanted, but she was the first. And the funny thing about my audition is what you probably noticed is when she did turn around, I completely blacked out and forgot my lyrics. So
yeah, I didn't notice that you covered it so well.
I was like, I don't know. I just completely, like, that's the part they don't prepare you for is, you know, you're nervous, but you're singing to their backs. Mm-hmm. But the moment that they actually turn around, you're
whoa, imagine.
That's another shell shock.
Gosh.
So, so that was the part that, I mean, I caught back on and it was all good. And then Gwen turned around as well. But it was very, it was nerve wracking because when you walk out, they tell the audience to not cheer because they want to hear your footsteps.
Ah.
And so you walk out to this room and it's just dead silent.
Oh, man.
And they give you a countdown from 10 and then the doors open. And so your heart is just like.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ryan, you came to the Pacific Northwest. Was it Oregon?
Yep. Oregon. From Oregon. Yep. Yeah, grew
I'm
up
saying
there.
It right. A lot of people say Oregon.
You're saying it correctly.
It's Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon.
And I've never been, but I hear it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. I work with a guy in radio that would rave about Oregon.
Oh my gosh. The summers are just amazing. Mm. Yeah. So I do miss the summers. I don't miss the rain.
No.
A lot of rain, which, you know, that probably attributes to my moody songwriting. So.
Well, you know, speaking of your songwriting, this is so cool, folks. You learned to write from the Beatles.
Yeah.
That's cool. I got my Beatles hat on for you today.
Oh, just awesome. Amazing.
Yeah,
I think they still influence my writing. So, yeah, I just, everyone was listening to like Nirvana and Pearl Jam. And for some reason, I got just, you know, just hooked on the Beatles. And I got this complete guitar book with every single Beatles song. And I just went to town on my dad.
I learned them all, huh?
My dad's old guitar, Gibson. Wow. That thing was hard to play. It like hurt my fingers, but I was just like, I want to learn this. And then I was like, I'm going to start writing my own song. So
there you go.
Yep.
So
I was
how old
hooked.
Were you then when you started writing?
I think a junior in high school. So I was flipping burgers at McDonald's and, you know, I'd be writing songs in my head while the burgers are burning and Yeah. So yeah, I was hooked, and songwriting is what kind of kept me at music. I really like the creative process of writing. So,
and you're one of those ones that does it all. You do production, producing songs.
And
so multi instruments. You play piano and guitar.
I play piano. I picked up piano later on. It's funny when I was younger, like 10 years old. My mom, you know, had me take piano lessons, and I hated it. I was like, I just want to go play outside and ride my bike and just hated it. But then later on, I picked it up. I was like, I love piano. So I think it was just that I needed the creative process. So creating something rather than, you know, reading music.
And that's what I love about this, creativity. And the thing about creatives, I think, a lot of times it doesn't stick in just one channel.
Yeah.
You know, like Caitlin, you're a painter, right? A painter.
Yeah.
I wish I could paint. I see beautiful scenery and I wish I could paint that.
I know, it is fun.
Yeah, I bet it is. So you've got a lot of different ways to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's kind of almost healthy when you need a break from music or when music starts feeling like a job. It's like you can switch to another creative outlet.
Yeah.
And
yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So let me ask you, how'd you guys get together? When did you guys decide to become The Wandering?
So our first time we wrote together was actually with our friend Justin Love.
Justin, love him.
We love that guy.
He's been on this podcast a couple times.
Oh, good. We love him.
Find him out there. He's got a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Good guy.
So, yeah, I've written a ton.
And a connector. This guy.
Oh, my gosh.
He meets everybody and introduces you. Every time I see him, he's introducing me to somebody.
Oh,
I need to meet so-and-so. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. He doesn't know a stranger.
He doesn't. He's not a stranger. Yeah. Nobody's a stranger.
No. I've probably written 50 songs with Justin.
It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
We just clicked. So, you know, we wrote a bunch. But
I think it was, like, Justin, I was supposed to write with him for my solo career. And I was like, do you have a good third that you could bring in? And he's like, oh, my friend Ryan Neely. I love him. He's such a good writer.
Yeah.
And so that's how we met for the first time was in a co-write for I think we wrote, like, a funny, I can't remember what song.
Yeah. But yeah, those are our first time connecting. Yeah. And then we wrote a couple times after that.
Yeah.
And then we were hanging out New Year's Eve of this last year.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about how we'd always wanted to do like a duo project.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were big fans of Civil Wars.
And I've seen you compared to them.
Oh, cool.
Many times. So
oh, good.
That's
yeah.
got to feel good to be compared
to. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, what a compliment.
Yeah.
Big fans of Johnny and June. And so we're just like, well, what if we tried to do it? So we wrote a song with our friend Daniel Leathersitch. Do you know him?
I don't.
Great writer. We've written quite a bit with him. But we wrote our first song in that that January. And the next day, I was supposed to perform at the Bluebird in a round with some friends. I was like, what if we perform this song that we just wrote today? What if we perform it tomorrow?
And you were brave enough to try a brand new song at the Bluebird.
Yeah, yeah.
Hats off to you.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was super nerve-wracking. I stayed up to like 3 a.m. trying to learn harmonies. And we met like one time before the show to run it. And we were just like, let's just
do it. Here we go.
So then, were you as nervous at the Bluebird as you were like doing the idol?
Honestly, yes, because the Bluebird is, it's weird how nervous you get there. I think it's because it's so intimate and small, and you know, you really connect with everyone.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's different from being on a stage where everyone's kind of, you know, the lights are on you and it's black and you can't really see people's faces.
Yeah.
You can really connect with people at the Bluebird, and I think it makes it more nerve-wracking.
Now, if you've ever been to the Bluebird, if you're listening, it's about, 65 people, I think, and it sells out so quick.
Yeah.
And there's two ways you can do it, either in the round, and you were in the round because I saw pictures. Yeah, in the round, everybody surrounding you, and then sometimes you get on the stage because if the band playing after you needs the whole stage. So I've done both ways. On the stage, I like because you can wrap your arms around the whole audience; you can see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got Chris Christopherson staring you down on the wall.
Yeah, yeah,
that's kind of
all your heroes. Yep.
So last time I played, we were in the round. And so I was used to that because I did that before. So I made sure that he was over my shoulder. So I sit down and pick up my guitar and I'm tuning and I look up. Now on this wall, it's Dolly and Willie. And
oh my gosh.
How am I going to get through this?
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah.
Unworthy.
But you guys killed, huh? It went well?
It went really well. And just had a really good reception from people. We're like, let's write some more songs. Yeah. This is awesome.
People were coming up to us after and they're like, where can we get this song? We're getting married. This is the song I want to walk down the aisle to.
That's awesome.
And we're like, oh, this isn't even a thing. Like, we wrote this yesterday, and then we're like, should we make this a thing? Should we start?
Yeah.
Was that the moment then that you decided?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
We didn't even have our name yet, but it just clicked.
Well, that was going to be my next question, the name. Tell us about the name.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It just happened so quickly, and usually I feel like when you're in a duo or a band, there's a lot of fighting with like... you know, decisions.
Civil wars.
Civil wars.
Yeah. What name? And for some reason, like, it was so easy for us to pick the Wanderings. And
it just kind of fit. Yeah,
is there a deep meaning behind it? Or?
I mean, yes. It's kind of about taking the road less traveled.
Mm.
And I feel like Ryan and I have both had very different paths, but we've both chosen a path that is hard and one that many people don't go down.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of wanted to find a community for people that are creatives or doing something different, and we kind of wanted our songs to represent that.
Yeah.
And so
I think we were playing around with the Wanderers, and I was like, what about the Wanderings?
Yeah.
It just sounded kind of interesting.
I like it.
And
it
almost just, like a last name or something.
Yeah, like a wandering is going on an adventure, and it's kind of like the story of our life. Here we are in Nashville on this adventure and on a wandering. So,
both are still kind of new to Nashville too, right? Would you fit right in? You've been here since 20?
I've been here 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you?
I came in the middle of 2020. Yeah,
okay.
So...
Yeah.
Almost the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Wow. And you played all the big spots, the Bluebird and Listening Room.
Yep, Bluebird, Listening Room. Next.
Haven't done the Opry or
Ryman. We're manifesting. That's next.
Manifest, baby.
Can you help us out with that, Dave?
Well, I used to work at the Ryman.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you to connect with. But you know what they used to do? When I was working there, and this has been going, they do this tradition, has been going on since the 50s at the Ryman, where they do a talent night.
Oh, cool.
And you could sign up to play on stage.
Oh.
And it was so cool, you guys.
Wow.
It was like they put us in a room We get to go in the dressing room. I've been doing the tours through the dressing rooms, and I got to stay in a room. And they had the hat show prints, and you know, you get on the stage and you look at the stained glass, and you're like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Oh my gosh!
That's you know, it was like
200 people there at most. Everybody that works there, but still, it was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
What you a know. Surreal moment! That
was
so cool.
It was.
Yeah.
Absolutely love.
There's places like that. It just feels like a holy place. Like the Bluebird has that, the listening room, the Ryman, the Opry. Yeah. It's just like, wow. Yeah. This is like the soul of Nashville.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, like, why doesn't the Bluebird, you know, move into a bigger place? You know, they've been having problems with the leaking roof and things. They've had to close a few times. And I think the reason is just for you say, it's been there since the early 80s.
Yeah.
And there's something about that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you feel different walking in there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I guess if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're recording now, getting ready to release some music?
Yeah.
We are.
We've been writing a ton, and now we're in the process of trying to figure out which songs to record.
Which is really tough.
No,
which
it is
a good problem to have.
When you're writing that many songs a year, I mean, how do you, you know.
Yeah. It's tough. We're trying to narrow it down to six, so we want to do an EP.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And
We're leaning towards trying to do it with like a live band, all kind of at once, like just getting that live energy that you can't, it's hard to replicate doing it one track at a time, you know?
It really is.
So that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, we tried to record where we would sing separately in separate rooms, mm-hmm. and we were kind of losing that magic that we have when we perform live. Uh-huh. And so we decided to go a different route and try to figure out a way that Ryan could play the guitar and we could sing at the same time and see each other. And so I think that's how we're going to
And with some players and just Nashville style, you know.
And this one I just did that we'll release after the first of the year, went to San Diego, Pacific Beat out there. And that's what he did. He plugged in my guitar and he had a band that he brought in, especially for this. And they knew that they had the charts and everything. And so rather than do just like a scratch vocal, I was doing a scratch guitar vocal with a band behind me.
Okay.
You know, so it was really cool. I really liked that because you get the feel and the vibe.
Yeah.
And there's then energy.
Once we had that, then we started layering in, you know, fiddle, mandolin, you know.
Yeah.
From there. But
It
was a good experience. Not quite what I was used to here.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So you got to do what you feel is right for you, huh?
Yeah. So we're excited about it. And we found a really good producer to work with that really understands our sound, too.
And you're recording here in Nashville?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention the studio or the producer? You don't have to. But...
Yeah, his name is Mike LaPinto. And he's actually the guitarist for Chris Stapleton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that a rock?
Yeah.
And millionaire.
I know. I'm like,
starting your career.
Full circle. Maybe there's like some hidden meaning that, you know,
like it all comes to around.
Totally. We just met with him last week and we just clicked. He kind of got our sound and things he was saying. What if you added this? And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And he played us some stuff he's been working on with other artists. And we're like, that's the sound we're after. That's the vibe. We need that vibe. It's just this indescribable vibe. Yeah. And he gets it. So we've been in talks with him and just kind of starting down that path now. So
that's cool.
As you know, there's just this like long and winding road of how do we get to where we're trying to get with this music? So we're on our way. We're feeling like, so.
Yes.
Well, let's get a taste of it. Can you play us one of your songs that you're recording? And you guys have got to hear the one. You just have to. Here you go.
You want to set this song up? Horseman?
Oh, Horseman.
Yeah, please, because we always need the stories behind this.
Oh, okay. Well, we write some dark songs sometimes. Usually, actually.
Okay.
and this song is actually about the end of the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's a love song.
It's a love song.
A love song with the context of the end of the world. So you get the best of both worlds.
How about that? Well, I'm hooked. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Flames.
See the plagues of judgment.
It's too late to pray. So kiss me like we have to say goodbye. Till the last
star falls from the sky. Ooh, I'll hold you till the horsemen come. Underneath the blood-red sun, I'll be there by your side, my love. I'll hold you till the horsemen come.
As the ground breaks open,
put your hand in mine.
No, we can't outrun it
with what's left of our time.
Kiss me like we have to say goodbye. Till the last star falls from the sky. Ooh, I'll hold you till the horsemen come. Underneath the blood-red sun, I'll be there by your side, my love. Ooh, I'll hold you till the horsemen come. Trumpets sound, ashes fall like snow. Hell is raining down, don't you let me go. Ooh, I'll hold you till the horsemen come. Underneath the blood-red sun, I'll be there by your side, my love. Ooh, I'll hold you till the horsemen come. I'll be there by your side, my love.
That's cool.
That's horsemen.
The four horsemen.
The four horsemen.
Exactly.
That's something from the Bible. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. We're like, that's a really good song for like The Last of Us or any zombie apocalyptic movie.
Which is big today.
Oh, yeah. We love our zombies.
That's going to be great. That should be a single.
Oh, thank you.
It's one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
We're excited to record that one. Yeah, I think we agree. We have to. Yeah. I'm like,
was it just you two on the song?
Yep. Oh, Scott Barrier.
Oh, right? Barrier.
Oh, yeah, Barrier.
Barrier.
Yeah.
My good buddy. Love him.
We've written a few with him. So, yeah.
Anytime we have a dark idea, we usually call Scott.
Scott's a little bit dark, you know.
We're like, oh, he'll have some good lines.
Comes from the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, you can get a little spooky. That's what we need.
He's pretty cool. We've probably written 50 songs or so, and he's just a great guy. I just love sitting down and writing.
Oh,
like
you're
sitting in his chair right
there. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Just the lyrics he comes up with. I'm like, we could write 10 songs with these lyrics, you know, the leftover.
Oh, yeah, like what was that Cajun line that he came up with?
Oh, my gosh. Cajun Rain, that ended up in...
Cajun Rain.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to come up with that.
Like that? I mean, it's just so cool.
He just, he'll connect things that you go, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We call him the songwriting savant on this show.
Oh, okay.
And we had him on the podcast, and if you look Scott Barrier up, he's got some really cool ideas.
Oh, yeah.
He really does.
Yep.
Not only that, not only for writing, but, you know, he has this concept, he says he writes around. And what do you mean about that? And he said that when he was working in the publishing industry, the guy that always had the biggest check was the guy that was writing with multiple people all around town.
Yep.
And he was a big name, Jim Lauderdale. So he's kind of adopted that. And he'll write 250, 300 songs a year.
Oh,
two, three. I mean, that's what he does.
Prolific,
No, yeah, he just has a passion for it.
Oh, yeah.
He loves to write.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's probably... next to Justin, he's the one I've written with the most. So, yeah. When me and Justin Scott get in the room, oh, man, watch out.
Yeah. I've been in that room. It's intense.
Yeah.
And what I love about Justin is he brings a whole idea usually. I mean, this is what I want to write today.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no discussing. This is what we're writing.
And we're going 100 miles an hour.
100 miles an hour. Daggum, we're going to do
that. Daggum. Daggum.
That's his favorite saying. Daggum.
Yep.
Hats around town, daggum. If you ever see him when you're visiting Nashville.
Yep. He's branded it.
He's branded it. That's his brand. So, Ryan, you did it right. I mean, a lot of folks will just pack up, move to Nashville, You know, and some it's could be harsh and it could be high, but you would come in, see what it's like, right? Visit, and that's what I did. I would shoot in, and then eventually you moved here.
Yeah, back in the day, I was in a touring band. It was actually a Christian band.
Yeah.
We were on Tooth & Nail Records, Seattle-based record label.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was the first time I really toured the country, and we would, you know, dip into Nashville, and I caught the bug. I was like, I've always wanted to move here. I think just kind of fear held me back, insecurities, and then 2020 hit. I'm like, it's now or never, and so finally made the move, and I didn't have a whole, bulletproof plan in place. I was like, okay, I'm going to songwrite. I had some production background, so I started working freelance in that. And it took me about a year or so to kind of find my songwriting community, people like Scott and Justin and start doing
it. It takes time.
Yeah, start doing rounds. Yeah.
But you find your tribe, don't you?
Yeah. So
did you find your tribe, Caitlin, pretty quick?
Yeah. But it's funny. It does take time. Like, you think this is your sound and these are your people, and then you're like, oh wait, actually, you know, this is more what I want now. And and so it just, it takes
a little bit.
But we evolve. You evolve, yeah. And that's the funny thing is, when I first moved here, people were like, you've defined your sound. And I'm like, this is my voice. What do you mean? This is my sound.
Yeah.
And now I totally understand that. It's like knowing. Yeah.
Your writing voice.
Yeah, your writing voice and what you want to say.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's kind of like me in that we listen to so much different music. It's like, how do you choose one? It's like, it feels like just a kind of a combo of all our influences.
Yes.
Don't you think that's important to have a wide range of music that you love?
I think so.
That you can draw upon.
Yeah, and it seems like there's more of an open-mindedness towards it now. Like, even with country music, what is country music? What it was 20 years ago isn't the same as what it is now. It's like a hybrid. You have like Post Malone making awesome country music.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's just kind of a more open-mindedness towards, a hybrid of the genres, you know.
And what it's done is it has expanded the scope of the genre. It's brought in a lot more young folks.
Yeah.
When I was working in radio 20 years ago, we would talk about our typical listener, and we were all about one-to-one communication. You talk on the radio like you're talking to one person, right? So we created a person that we could talk to, and when we opened that mic, we were talking to Brenda.
And
we did all this psychographic research that all these consultants do, and she was a 39-year-old female. She worked at the bank, and she had two kids, 2.5 actually, and she liked to vacation in Gatlinburg, and she liked country music. So I would imagine that person today, average country listener, is much younger.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of different things.
And it's funny, I kind of tried to stay out of the country lane with songwriting because I was like, I'm not a farmer, I don't ride a horse, and I couldn't relate to those songs. And then I realized once I got here, it's just about anything. You can write about anything. It's just about storytelling, you know.
Well, I remember growing up too. It was like, there's a time period when it was like country wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Now it's cool again, you know.
Like,
it's come back around.
Right.
Yep.
1980 is when I got into country music.
Oh, cool.
And I came from the Cleveland area, which was rock and roll capital of the world, right? And I grew up on Bowie and the Stones and the Beatles and, you know, The Who, right? Mm-hmm. So when I got back to Cleveland, I worked different other markets. When I came back to Cleveland, the job was country radio. And I remember it wasn't cool at the time. My friends are like, what?
Yeah.
My wife almost didn't go out with me because I was a country DJ, but her mom loved me.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
You
gotta win the mom over.
Get your foot in the door.
You know, the first time I met her, can I take one here to start? It's a funny
story. Yeah.
This is actually true.
Yeah.
And I love my mother-in-law, Jenny, her name was. Jenny worked at a bank, and she was like 50s, 60s, had a family, but was a career woman. I had so much respect for her.
Yeah.
She was smart as can be. And, so I was doing a little request show in the afternoon. I was doing middays at the time. And I had a call from this lady, and she was so distraught. It was every now and then you'll get a call from somebody like that. And I thought, what's the matter? Talk to me. So I just got back from the doctor, and it's not good news. I'm thinking, what the heck? And she goes, I'm pregnant. And this is going to be my 13th kid. And I'm like, what?
Whoa.
And at the time, there's a Loretta Lynn song called Pregnant Again. It all came down to requesting that song. And I just, are you going to be okay? She said, yeah, I'm going to be fine. I just don't know what we're going to do. And I was like, play the song. Okay, so this happened to be the night that I'm going to meet the parents, right? We have dinner. I'm over there. And my mother-in-law is sitting right across the table like you are right now. Right. In fact, it was this table.
Oh, wow.
This is the Duncan Pipe table. And so we're all done with dinner. And, you know, I'm kind of a shy guy at the time. And
yeah.
She looks at me. She goes, David. Always called me David. So, David. Yes, Mrs. Martin. How was your radio show today? And I said, well, it's really good. Anything interesting happen? And I go, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, it's really crazy. I had this call from a lady, and I told the whole story, and how I was worried, and I played the song, and I see her starting to go. And I went, no. She goes, yes. And that was you?
What? No
She called and pranked me.
No way.
No.
On the same day I was going to make.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
That's hilarious.
You can imagine we were best of friends. I love that
one.
Oh,
my gosh.
I absolutely love
That's so fun. Awesome. I love that story.
Yeah, that's great.
So crazy. Well, I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear a few more songs from you guys.
Okay.
I want to hear what you're doing.
Deal.
Caitlin and Ryan with us, The Wanderings of the Songwriter Connection.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Yeah, thedaveconnection.com. My friend Jill has really been working on that, Jill Pavel from Publicity Nation. And I'm surprised. I'm kind of go, really? That's me? Wow. She's doing a heck of a job. There's links to this show there. And also links to my little radio show called Nashville Connection. And I hope that you'll visit. And also, if you're listening on YouTube, and I know we're not a video podcast because I'm a radio guy, but we got to be there. And I just hope that you would click that subscribe and like button, if you will, because it does help more than you ever know. And I also want to remind you at this point, there is the Spotify playlist, Songwriter Connection, the songs. Every Wednesday, when we publish a new episode, I always add a couple of songs from that week's guest. So, and you can stream them, and I hope that you will. So Ryan and Caitlin are back with us from The Wanderings, and they've got a cool story. And I'm telling you, I'm really honored. I feel like I'm jumping on the bandwagon early with you guys. So really, thank you for coming out and doing it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You are. We're pretty new, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just started this year, so.
Yep.
Well, you're going to have that EP out there probably in 2026.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, we're trying to.
Well, I guess it would be 2026 at this pace.
You're right.
Maybe you can get about the end of the first.
We'll try to drop a single before then.
I hope you do.
Yeah.
It's so hard with all the holidays that come up.
Oh, my gosh. We've got to write a Christmas song.
I know. Yeah. First song we drop is Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas song.
Yep.
You'd have to have them in the can already.
Yep.
Really. I know, really. It's crazy. Yeah. You have to. I mean, I was telling Ryan, I was like, I feel like we have to get the song in, like, 8 weeks at least.
Yeah.
And it's,
really?
It's
before you release it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You better have it done by August, I would think.
Yeah. We're not going.
Next year, though. Next year. Do you write Christmas? Do you like to write Christmas songs?
I do like to write them. I have like a couple sync placements of some Christmas.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I have like four different movies with my Christmas music.
Which ones?
Oh, gosh.
Hallmark ones or just...
Hallmark. Yeah. And then two are Hallmark, and then the other two are on Amazon Prime.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I'm like, I want to get more into the sync world.
Yeah.
Which I feel like a lot of our music is very syncable, so...
Totally.
A lot of writers say are going the sync route, huh?
Yeah. So maybe we should write a Christmas song.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
You know, I got to act in a Hallmark movie.
You did?
Yeah.
What?
And it's supposed to be coming out this... October, called Music City Mistletoe.
What?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It was pretty cool. I got to play myself as a guy named Tom Martin.
Okay.
The difference between Tom Martin and I is Tom has Grammys and lots of number one hits.
Nice.
And you know that's not me, because if I had a Grammy, I'd be sitting right there. And I'd be showing it to everyone. Here's my Grammy. This is my Grammy. I want the Grammy. But it was really fun.
That's cool.
I play myself, but, you know, it was
cool.
So that's coming out like this season?
The premiere is in October. It's coming up in October. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm not sure exactly where it's going to land yet.
Okay.
But, you know, it's still kind of, I tried to get more information this week, and like, you'll find out real soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let us know so we can watch.
Definitely.
Everything I did is probably on the cutting room floor. actually, I did see a scene, because this is really cool. We recorded In the Round with the artist, and it was at the Commodore we did it.
Cool.
With a bunch of extras. So I really got to sing a song in the movie. I'm like, wow. And it made it, because I saw
it.
They did send me that. Like, wow. So there I am for
that's amazing.
A minute or so.
That's awesome.
Up my voice.
I love
that's
that.
The best of both worlds, cool. Acting and singing.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to do that? It would be perfect. Yeah.
I know. I'm like what Reba does. I'm like, that's
great.
Yeah.
Right? Why not?
Yeah.
Are you Reba still French? Do you talk to her?
Oh, yes. She's wonderful. It's so funny. We text and she responds to me within like 2 minutes.
No kidding.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, if Reba can do that, I need to be way better on my phone, because I'm horrible answering people. Yeah, and she's amazing. After the show, we went and grabbed lunch for like 2 hours. And
wow.
She's just super normal and down to earth.
Has she been a mentor then?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, the industry is so different now. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what I would do if I was coming up now as a new artist. But she's an awesome person.
That's fantastic.
So cool.
Well, I'm friends on Lemon 8 with Dolly Parton.
Nice.
Touch me every now and then.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm sure it's fake Dolly Parton.
I'm like, whoa.
That's
Dolly.
Awesome.
I'm like, will you stop scamming people as America's favorite Aunt Dolly? Please.
That's awesome.
Anyway, that's tell funny. Me about a song that you're going to do.
Well,
the writing of it.
This is the first song we wrote for The Wanderings. We were talking about earlier. This is the one we performed at the Bluebird the day after we wrote it.
I'm dying to hear it too.
So, it's called Thousand Lifetimes.
Thousand Lifetimes.
And here we go. Wrote this with Daniel Leathersitch. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Oh, 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 oh. Hey, we've been my love. I've waited a long time for you to come along. Been a wild and winding road, full of storms turned into tears, but I found my destination in your eyes. All the highs and lows and in-betweens was worth it to get here. Feels like a thousand lifetimes after all that I've been through. I want to live a thousand more with you. Oh, oh. I pray, I've been through the worst. There I found you waiting in a ray of light.
Thank God there's healing after the hurt. So a couple of dreamers could bring dreams to life.
Oh, it's been a wild and winding road, full of storms turned into tears. But I found my destination in your eyes. All the highs and lows and in-betweens was worth it to get here. Feels like a thousand lifetimes after all that I've been through. I want to live a thousand more with you. With you.
With you.
Hey, till the day we die,
same. Till the sun don't rise, I'll be holding you for a thousand lifetimes.
Wow.
I can see the comparison to the Civil War.
So really?
I really can.
That's awesome. Oh, man, that's a compliment. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have the drama.
The drama! That's true. Okay, so that brings me to my next question. It was too personal. You tell me. Shut up, Dave.
I already know where it's going.
So I always assumed that those two were married, you know.
Oh, right.
They were a couple, but they weren't. You know?
Right.
Romantic relationship at all? No.
We are friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
keep it strictly professional.
Yeah, yeah. We're just focusing on the music. Caitlin's got a boyfriend, by the way.
I got you.
I'm single. Ladies, I'm single. So just throw that
He's a pretty good-looking guy, right? Now you can't deny that.
I'm on the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... Yeah, we're good friends and good. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think it's start. I mean, it's good that you're good friends. And because this is a stressful business and you can lean on each other when you need it, you know.
Totally.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's like been the best part I think about starting a duo is like we almost make a complete person. You know, like he's a great songwriter and producer and instrumentalist, and I'm really good at social media and merchandise and writing. And so it's like the things that we lack, like the other person has. And so it's
perfect.
It's like we're like the best team. So
isn't
that's been the best part about.
I've noticed you've got a lot of merch available out there on your websites.
Oh, coming available, yes. Coming available. I've been designing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed, Keaching, which I thought was a great idea.
Thank you. Yeah, we were trying to find something that kind of went with our like adventurous spirit brand and something you could take on the road with you. And so we kind of did an old-fashioned motel keychain. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people can find you online. Whereabouts? Yours. I've been on yours all morning. You've got a great web page.
Oh, thank you. Yours. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have it's called The Wanderings Music on Instagram.
On Instagram.
We just started a TikTok. I don't think we have like any followers because I did that yesterday. I was waiting for TikTok, but I gave in.
Right.
So yeah. I
watched about all those videos on Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
That's pretty awesome.
I've been trying to post a lot because I know it's almost as important as the music.
Totally.
It is today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally.
It's a different game.
It is.
Yep.
And, you know, we could have the best songs, but if no one hears them, then...
That's so true.
You know? So we're trying to grow our following. And, you know, try to use some of our Kickstarter money to get our name out there. And
We did a Kickstarter fundraiser.
I think that's smart.
And so we had a lot of support and just a lot of generosity. So we're so thankful for that. We're able to be fully funded for our EP.
That was nerve-wracking because neither of us had ever done a Kickstarter. And so we didn't really know what we were doing or how to have a
But you did it right. One. Explain what you did. You had like little premiums and things. People, you could...
We had rewards. People could, at different price options could... be a part of. Some were like custom songs or one-on-one writes with us, all the way down to like merchandise house concerts.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but I think Kickstarter only has like a 5% 5% of projects get funded.
Oh.
It's like super low.
Really?
So we were kind of nervous for that. But then we got Kickstarter chose us as one of their projects that they love.
Wow.
So that helped us because that kind of...
Got featured
and people that didn't know who we were before.
That's fantastic.
They can now find us on the website. So.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we're grateful for the support. As you know, like recording is expensive. And
it is.
So we're just thankful for that.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. Are you working with a publicist at all?
Not yet.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
We're trying to slowly build a team. We're trying to talk to some managers right now.
Yeah.
And,
good.
Yeah. Hopefully, once we get the music to showcase, that'll probably help us a lot. Because right now, we don't really have anything to give people.
That's the next big step.
Yeah.
You kind of have to come to the show live right now if you want to hear
it. So where can we find out where you're playing?
Gosh, do we have anything on the books right now?
No, but I think the next one might be like Whiskey Jam because we haven't done that yet.
We do the Whiskey Jam.
We would love to. We're not on the calendar yet, but we're throwing it out there to the universe.
That would be awesome.
That's going to be next.
Ryan, tell them about the Whiskey Jam. We haven't talked about that on this show yet.
Whiskey Jam. So yeah, it's downtown. They have full bands that back the artists, and
we haven't done a full band show yet.
That's true. We haven't yet.
Do you have a full band?
Not yet, but no. You know, with the studio players, we may. So mm-hmm.
That's cool.
May have a band after that, but yeah, the Whiskey Jam would be fun.
I hope you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk after the podcast. I've got some ideas for you.
Okay. All right.
But I want to hear a new song. Another song.
Oh.
Please. Can we do that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Which one do you want to play?
You can do music.
The story behind
it. What about Songbird?
Oh. Sure, but can you put the words here? Yeah. This is a new one.
This is a newer one. You want to talk about it at all?
Yeah, tell us about it.
Wrote it with Daniel.
Yeah, we wrote it with Daniel Leathersage. I'm trying to remember. I think we've been practicing out in the park by my house just because it's been such nice weather. And we've, you know, usually inside all day recording. And so whenever we can get outside and rehearse, we're like, let's meet in the park. And we started writing this song called Songbird.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because we were hearing birds in the trees or what, but...
Yeah, inspired you, man.
It inspired us. And it's really just about like using your voice and not being, like, if you've ever been silenced, it's about not being afraid to speak your truth. And I think that's pretty relevant right now with what everything going on. It's just, you know, being able to speak like freely.
Yeah.
It seems like a wandering concept.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
Yeah. Totally.
Can't wait to hear it. Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
Oh gosh, I'm scared. I haven't even done this.
This is one of our newer. This is one of our newer songs. So,
hey, you debuted. Debuted a new song at the Bluebird. You can
hear the bridge.
What about the bridge?
That's a tricky part.
Oh yeah. All right, here we go.
Late at night, the wolves get loud. You know they'll bite if you stick your neck out.
Tell yourself, don't make a sound.
But someone out there needs to hear you now. You were born to fly, you were born to sing.
Raise your voice high and spread your wings. It's always dark before the dawn.
Hey, songbird, don't lose your song. That hymn of hope you're holding in. Send it out into the wind.
Like one spark can light a fire.
Just might turn the quiet into a choir.
You were born to fly.
You were born to sing. Songbird, don't lose your song. Sing it brave, sing it true.
Till the skies of gray turn blue. You were born to fly.
Spread your wings.
It's always dark before the dawn.
You never know who might sing along.
Hey, songbird, don't lose your song.
I love how your songs have that cold ending like that. Is that planned? You
I don't know. I guess I just gravitate towards
it's my ADD.
Well, you know,
it's like, not,
the shorter,
not
the
long
better.
Intros, not long outros.
I hear you,
man. I hear you.
It's like everyone has such a short attention span now. It's like you want to try to get that song below 30 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And these days you'll have like 2.5 minute songs. You know, they're getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, our attention spans are shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little reels that you see on the socials, you know, if they last more than 30 seconds, you're like, oh, the next one.
You know,
So, So that's great, man. I really thank you for coming in. And again, like I say, I feel like I'm on the bandwagon real early. And so I really appreciate you coming in here and getting to know you both a little bit better. So I want to tell folks how they can find you online and become friends and fans and maybe pick up on some of this merch. Yeah. Ryan, if you want to leave your phone number because you're a single guy, maybe call you next.
Totally. Yeah, say what dating apps you're on. I don't know.
Very funny.
Your WhatsApp, you know, whatever. Telegram. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for me, it's Ryan Neely Music is my Instagram handle.
You can slide into those DMs.
Slide into my DMs.
Slide your DMs. There you go.
Mine is Caitlin Quisenberry Music.
All right.
And then we have The Wanderings Music, which
on,
is our
on
duo.
Instagram and on TikTok. Instagram. Yeah, yeah. So.
Instagram seems to be the thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's going to stick around for a while. Yeah.
I do too. It's just like, I don't even carry cards anymore. You meet somebody, okay, yeah, yes. Instagram? Yeah, like here.
Yeah.
And there you go. It's better than a card.
Totally.
It tells you a lot more.
Yeah, it sure does.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. So, very cool. I want to wish you all the success in the world. Count me as a fan. Anything you need, I'm here for you. And I certainly appreciate you taking the time to come.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, yeah, thank you. This was so much fun. We loved it.
Yeah. Watch for the wanderings, guys. Watch for it. They're going to be big. And thank you for listening. And right on.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.